Hello, friends. We're back again for the second hour of Out of This World Radio International with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW here in Bellevue, Washington on 1150 AM. The program focuses on out-of-this-world information, including psychic phenomena, UFOs, metaphysics, and predictions for the coming years in Seattle, the United States, and beyond. We will have only the best psychics and astrologers and UFO people in the world on our program, and I guarantee it'll be the most interesting radio program you've ever listened to, as you will hear information here that you will simply not hear elsewhere. Today, we're very fortunate to have Robert Perella on our show. And Robert, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hey, Ted.
Hey,
great to be on your show.
Thanks, my friend.
Because everybody's talking about Ted, you know, and when I heard you wanted me on your show, I was like, oh boy, this will be fun.
Well, this will, I literally want to make it out of this world, because that's the title of my show. So, but you've had a fascinating background. I want to read a little bit about your biography. You're the internationally acclaimed author of The Divine Blueprint and the new revised edition of The Divine Architect. You are considered, Robert's considered by many to be one of North America's finest inspirational speakers. He is a U.S. correspondent and a host of his own internet TV show called The Perella Report, and has been featured on CNN, the Fox Network, Showtime, Coast to Coast, AM, to name a few. His website is www.theperellareport.com, spelled T-H-E-P-E-R-A-L-A-R-E-P-O-R-T. You have a lot of really interesting interviews on there. I looked at your website earlier, Robert, and I just want to thank you so much for your good work.
Oh, thanks, Ted.
Yeah. Today we've got lots of interesting things to talk about with Robert, and I want to share this with my many listeners around the world on a little bit about Robert's background. He writes that on December 27th, 1977, Robert was taken aboard a spacecraft by three extraterrestrial astronauts. He was returned sunburned and covered in a honey oil-like substance. After locking himself in his apartment for 3 months, he met up with Dr. J. Allen Hynek at the first UFO symposium in San Francisco. Now, after 30 years of research, his workshops explore the mysterious connection between the divine intelligence, the interpersonal relationship that which we share with the extraterrestrials, the Pleiadians, and a host of other visitors. As we look into the origin of the soul and the secrets of life's continuum, we find that we are living simultaneous lifetimes in other lifetimes and on other timelines. And he asked some important, profound questions, including, where were you on the day you were born? And when your life is done, what awaits you on the other side? Robert, you've asked some important, profound questions. Could you tell us a little bit more about yourself and I'm sure this changed your worldview about how you look at reality, and it was no longer centered just on this planet.
Yeah, it certainly is. I never expected to be where I am, you know, mm-hmm. today with all this sort of this mm-hmm. business. I mean, mm-hmm. but you know, as a boy, I saw apparitions. Mm-hmm. Apparitions. These are men and women like you and I who have simply benefited from greater time and greater knowledge. At one point, they lived on the earth just like us. Mm-hmm. They finished their material incarnation, and then they move on to the next plane, which is where we are most of the time. We're actually the In studying the origin of the soul, we find that, you know, the spirit and the soul come into the material world for an interim time, you might say, as an adjunct to their studies. Mm-hmm. And so we get born here, and then we live for, like, oh, who knows how long, and
sure.
and then we go back. Mm-hmm. And but I saw apparitions. These men and women were a lot like you and I. They just ran out of time, like we all will, and mm-hmm. they go to a life review and then move on. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to know, well, gosh, what is this? You know, my parents, I kept reporting to my parents we were having visitors at nighttime. And then later on, many years later, as I grew up and then beyond, and then had my first book come out, my book came out right at the same time that the motion picture The Sixth Sense came out. You'll remember the young boy in the movie The Sixth Sense where he says, I see dead people.
Yes, I do remember that. Yes.
And they were comparing me to the movie as the real thing, because as a fictional movie, they said, well, we've got Robert Perella here, and he says he sees apparitions. It was mm-hmm. because I saw the apparitions when I was younger that I realized the realities might be very, very malleable. And then later on in the late 70s, in 77, I never, ever thought about really metaphysics and spirituality, and then was interrupted on the Lake Tahoe border where it meets, Nevada meets California in the area of Lake Tahoe, and I was taken out of the house by what looked like three cosmonauts or astronauts of some sort. And when I was returned, it altered my life entirely and then kind of brought in a 30-year research into how could this have happened? Does this happen to other people?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I started meeting up with all the other researchers, and it sort of led me all the way to the Ted Marr Show.
Well, and here you are, out of this world.
And here I am, out of this world, right here. You know, it's a true story, though, you know, and we are all being visited. We are all being visited by the unseen.
Mm-hmm.
There's a committee that's walking with each one of us that checks in, and they come in various degrees. And then the extraterrestrials are watching over sort of the planet and how it's shifting and changes in consciousness and changes in earth changes and et cetera. So you might say that we're not an isolated experience at all. We're really a shared experience, as you know, because, you know, you certainly do readings and you certainly understand that. And, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely, Robert. Well, I have to tell you, as you've been speaking, that the studio has lit up again. That white light has come, beautiful white light has come back again, and this is great. I can. This is really beautiful what you're saying. I thank you for sharing that. Have your friends visited you since you first saw them in 1977? Do they, for example, communicate with you telepathically?
Interestingly, I never saw that again.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to robertperala.com, it's spelled P-E-R-A-L-A, you see actually a photograph, I think, on the second page or something of my website.
Mm-hmm.
And there, strangely enough, exists a photograph that was taken by an off-duty police officer named Jeff Greenshaw in Folkville, Alabama, in October of 1973.
Mm-hmm.
I never knew a photograph like this existed, but yet the photograph itself, you only see 10% of maybe what's there.
Hmm.
You don't really see the incredible colors that were around these astronauts' suits. I didn't see little gray men or gangly green things or something that looks like a reptile or whatever. I didn't see anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
I saw something that looked like an astronaut in a silver space suit. They were three of them. They had visors. I saw no faces. And they had like an orange antenna on the top of their helmet. And then after it happened to me, I didn't even know what it even was, Ted. Honest to God, for the first 3 months, I didn't even know what it was.
Okay.
And then from there, I ended up finding a picture of one of these things I think it was in the April issue of UFO Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just absolutely dumbstruck. I thought, my God, somebody has a photo of one of these things. The colors are all missing, the flashes of blue lightning, the incredible emanation of light, and looked like the sun had come down into the living room was all missing, but the shape, the suit, the basic of the outfit was undeniable. That's what I saw. They opened up the side of the house and took me with them somehow in some kind of tunnel of light.
Wow.
When I was brought back, I was soaked in a honey and oil-like material and then was sunburned from head to toe.
Okay.
And I threw up over the side of the bed, and the astronauts, you know, somehow disappeared. And I didn't know what had happened. I had no idea. I wasn't looking around for extraterrestrials. It took me a while to figure out that maybe this is some kind of close encounter of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe this is, you know, having something to do with extraterrestrials or something. And that's how I met up with the guy who founded the whole thing, Dr. Dale Hynek. He was the guy who founded Project Blue Book, founded the MUFON programs. He was the guy who interviewed people from all over the world to see if their stories would corroborate or if you know, how can so many people claim they've been aboard a spacecraft? How does that work?
Mm-hmm.
And, and oddly enough, William Shatner showed up, too.
Really?
Which was really amazing. When I was recording my story with Dr. Jalen Hynek, I couldn't almost believe when I heard this other voice next to me say, well, tell us what happened. And I look over, and I thought, you're kidding me. This is William Shatner.
Wow.
You know, later on, when I was going, you know, later on, they'd kid me and they'd say, do you realize the first time you ever went public and told your story, mm-hmm. how are they going to believe you if you told them that the first time you told your story to Captain Kirk? You know, and I thought, oh, my God, that's true. He is a character on TV, isn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, it's the guy from Star Trek.
Yeah.
That takes the authenticness out of the story because it makes mm-hmm. it comical.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a true story, and mm-hmm. today I meet with many, many people all over the world who said, you know, I need to talk to you about this. Something happened.
Sure, sure, sure. Well, you know, I think as a result of your experience, Robert, you exude a lot of light and love out of when you speak on the air, because the light's filling, there's a bright white light filling this studio, and it's just really, really nice. I just wanted to tell everyone that's what's coming in. And I also wanted to ask you a few more questions, too, about the esoteric, the mystery schools, and the aspects of the human spirit. Have you done research about life before death and life before birth? And
Quite a bit. Mm-hmm. You know, my mother was very, very supportive of this whole thing when it happened. And, you know, we were reading early books, before this whole, what you call today the New Age industry, or... Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. the New Age movement or whatever, and before the libraries and the bookstores started filling up with all kinds of books, there really wasn't much in the late 70s. I'm 59 now. Mm-hmm. There wasn't much in the late 70s out there. And but later on, as I started getting interested in the sciences and everything, I started reading more and more. And then... about 1992, there was, I started becoming much more clairvoyant, and I started adding up all of my clairvoyant experiences mm-hmm. with what was happening to me in the middle of the night and the story of the apparitions when I was a kid, going on up to my hospice work mm-hmm. And working with people that are just about to cross the veil, to mm-hmm. Shirley MacLaine and mm-hmm. to other, you know, great people that have studied this. And then I began to see a real picture forming that actually was becoming quite clear.
Mm-hmm.
And in the research and in my personal experience, I hope we're not going to go to a commercial too quick. So do you want me to?
No,
right?
The only thing I'd like to say is for those who are just tuning in, this is Out of This World Radio International with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, outside Seattle. We have as our guest Robert Perella, fascinating fellow who's had direct ET contact. And go ahead, Robert, got all the time in the world.
So it works like this, everybody. I mean, this is what I found in my humble opinion. Challenge me if I'm wrong,
mm-hmm.
or at least add to the conversation, maybe.
Uh-huh.
Before you're born, you were light. You don't remember this part.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. Most of us don't.
Mm-hmm.
What we've kind of found is that we live on the other side most of the time and have a very short visit into the material plane here.
Mm-hmm.
And you might say it works like this. You meet with people that you know very, very well. There are the angelics that are higher up than us, and they've watched your evolution and your soul's growth and spirit's progression and everything. And then mm-hmm. when they see a timeline available, a certain geographical location available, a certain family available, a certain... a whole design there. We wrote about this in Divine Blueprint, the design of where you're going to come into, what family you're going to come into, what geographical location, what time zone you're going to come in. A decision is made, and they said, look, this is what we suggest for you at this time, based mm-hmm. on your karmic aspect, based on where you've been mm-hmm. and what you're doing. You're going to be, this is what's going to happen. This is where you're coming into. And you actually, believe it or not, at some point say agree. And then as you're born, most people actually watch themselves being born. You wouldn't see that because the operating room is filled with lights and people working around a mother having a baby.
Mm.
But as the person that is being born, you actually watch yourself being born.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't see that. They can't see what's around them. They're all because they're in the material plane. And as the baby comes out, or let me back up one thing. Before you go and you come here, they say there'll be one sort of, you might think of it this way, there'll be one catch. You won't remember us, and you mm-hmm. won't remember this place.
Mm-hmm.
It's it's like you're going to go to sleep and you'll wake up on the other side. And then as you watch yourself being born, you come out of the womb and you are brought into, you know, say your home. And then more and more day by day, your spirit is fusing into that body. It's sort of moving into that little form. And it's growing up more and more until finally you learn about language, identification. You're in the, what Carl Jung says, the I am phase. I am this. And you learn your name, and you learn these are my parents, this is my environment, and you learn language, and that equates to the symbols that you're looking at. Mm-hmm. And then eventually you grow up more and more, and the spirit goes more and more into the body, until finally you get to an age where you've got discernment mechanisms and everything else, and you get to the age where you deny everything I just told you.
Okay.
because you're now completely here, you don't remember what's on the other side the day before you were born, and so it's like a mystery school that you're in. Now you have to, the game is afoot, and you find yourself trying to make your way back to, maybe your original agreements, and that'll come in a myriad of different ways. And and you know, many people go into religions, or they may not go into spirituality at all. They may become very immersed in the material plane, not really figuring things out. Others may illumine and awaken and realize, I get it. I'm here on a mission.
Wow.
I'm here for an interim time.
Sure.
There was some kind of agreement before I got here. I'm supposed to be here. And maybe I should live a purpose-driven life and make the most out of my life. And you see people becoming what we call now very awake and very attuned to why they came here. So they're going to, and then some wake up and say, I'm going to live full out. I'm going to see how much I can get out of this experience. And they may search out yogis and renunciants and the rishis and the Bible and the Gita and the Sanskrit Torah, Sumerian tablets and their friends and the expos, and, you know, and others may just be sort of moved into the material plane and not even engage in all that and learn other lessons just by being here and just by experiencing triumph and hardships, you know.
Well, I have to tell you, Robert, I want to give you a compliment now, because you've just given what I think is the best encapsulation of spiritual development from before birth, through birth as a little child, growing up, and then coming back full circle again when you get as an adult later in life to find out the purpose of your life. Because I couldn't agree with you more. And little kids too, I think often they will play with their imaginary friends, and sometimes parents may say, oh, you know, they'll tell their son or daughter to say, oh, that's not really there. And so their belief system gets shut down. But I think in the future, society will encourage, and parents in society will encourage, especially young children, to develop their psychic talents, because I think we are moving into a new time of spiritual growth and development. And eventually the humanity is moving into the fifth dimension, slowly but surely.
Yeah. Thank you so much for the compliment. Yeah, we're all here trying to figure it out, aren't we, Ted? I mean, if it weren't for radio shows like you and guys that are awake like you that said, you know, maybe we should have a radio show and talk about these things. What a wonderful thing that people get to participate with you in your show and expand their awareness like that. That's being awake, you know, because, I mean, if you'd been a car mechanic, their car would have been fixed, right? But being a talk show host, their life might be seriously enhanced. Well, pretty cool.
Yeah, thank you, Robert. Well, that's the purpose of my conference next month at the Galactic Wisdom Conference. And I know we've talked about this, Robert, and if you can't appear in person, we'd love to have you by Skype, but you have a lot of wisdom, and do you get messages for the future too about what's coming for humanity on this planet? I'm just curious.
You know, I get general impressions and feelings. I don't consider myself a deep psychic or I'm not in the prediction business. But I'm sort of a spiritual man who's very much a pragmatist, and I do look at all forms of news just to stay up on it, even though some of it you can't trust, but some of it is probably exactly as it's being presented. You know, I do know this much: we're living at that time at what we call, lovingly called, the Great Shift, or the vast and sweeping mm-hmm. changes in consciousness, mm-hmm. The age of wonders, mm-hmm. The vast awakening, the paradigm shift. There's lots of people saying lots of different things about it. I definitely believe we're there. Mm-hmm. I think it will shock people after you've just seen, you know, things like the incredible advancement in computer technology, mm-hmm. communication systems, you know, the things like the X-37B coming back and landing on planet Earth with all this information we're not supposed to know about. ETs flying through our atmosphere daily now and mm-hmm, mm-hmm. ending up on Yahoo.com on the homepage and mm-hmm. all this. I think it will, after you think you've seen everything and it just keeps getting funnier and funnier, finally what really nails it and then is the icing on the cake is really the disclosure that, in fact, we're not alone, and we realize, oh, my goodness, now it's finally the extraterrestrials are here. And where people are just now starting to get it and start to realize, you know, all these sightings and all these people with cameras that are taking pictures of these things in the sky, it's got to be that they're here in some form, but they're not evasive. There's not the ultimate landing that's taken place. I think that that's it for reasons that are good, because we're very primitive, and the way we react to that might be very adverse to us. But mm-hmm. we are, for some people, getting it, that, you know, we're not alone, and there is an assistance here of some kind. I think you're going to see extraterrestrials well in your lifetime, and it will just confounds people. Like, how could this have happened?
Sure.
After everything else that you thought was impossible, take a look at what you're wearing on your belt in the mm-hmm. way of your smartphone mm-hmm. and the technology behind that, and now take a look at the idea. Extraterrestrials don't seem so far out when you see the incredible communication device you're wearing just right on, carrying in your own purse.
Oh, sure.
Ladies.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know?
Sure, absolutely. Well, I have to tell you, about a month and a half ago, I had a gentleman named Wilbur Allen on my show, Robert, and he lives about 6-7 blocks away from the White House, and every night, he photographs UFOs landing in D.C. They go out in and out of federal buildings, in and out of the White House area. It's just amazing. It was quite an interesting interview I had with him.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting. But one thing I wanted to ask you, before you're born, going back to the time just before we all pop out on this planet as a baby, are there decisions made with your spiritual committee about how long you live, what kinds of soul lessons that you perhaps want to pursue, the people that you want to meet, lessons that you want to learn? Is that sort of thing done before reincarnation?
Yeah, it is. The first one, maybe not so much. The first one about how long you will live. Mm-hmm. I personally believe that that's very malleable. Some people take themselves out early and aren't, you know, you see this many times when you see people squirt out of their body during an operation uh-huh. and there was a complication here in the material plane. The person left their body and all of a sudden ended up in one of the other rooms or timelines mm-hmm. and somebody says, you're not supposed to be here. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. you're not supposed to be here yet. Mm-hmm. You know, this kind of thing. So people like Robin Williams taking his own life probably maybe ended his life before he could have and probably had more to go.
Sure.
On the other hand, the lessons, there's just lessons on every single level, and they will tell you, yes, there are going to be many, many, many lessons, even when they seem like they're so unfair. Mm-hmm. And you say to yourself, how could this possibly happen?
Sure.
You know, this is not fair. This is not me. I'm a good person. But mm-hmm. there's still wonderful lessons in even the worst tragedies, mm-hmm. even when they seem the most unfair. Because mm-hmm. mm-hmm. if you're reacting to it, then your emotional body isn't completely integrated. And if you're devastated by it, then you're not really as strong as you thought. So you're getting those. The set of lessons come in and arbitrarily a myriad of different ways. So either way you win, you are getting the awareness and training and understanding of spiritual principles. Mm-hmm. You make your life a lot easier if you practice the virtues every day. It'd probably be a lot easier on you.
Sure, sure,
you know?
Sure, sure. Well, my foster mother, Terry, was a wonderful master psychic, and she taught me, she gave me about 18, 20 years of instruction on how to contact the other side. And And I was told that I had contracted for a certain amount of time in this life here, so I know how long I'm supposed to live. I've got many more years to go.
Which is
interesting.
Well, that shows you that maybe both sides are true then. Mm-hmm. I mean, some people do have a fixed time period where they're going to go back and others are malleable. Which is what I figured, is that maybe many times it's both.
Yeah. Well, I've contracted to be here for so many years, and I finally found my sole purpose. And it's kind of like going back to, as you mentioned very succinctly earlier in the show, about how when you're born, you often remember what your purpose is, and you're in contact with the spiritual other side. But then as you get older in this society, often society will downgrade that and think that you're crazy to think about spirits and other dimensions. But later in life, after you've worked maybe for many decades in a job, you realize that there's a lot more to life than just this physical universe in the third dimension. And especially now that I think that the planet itself is moving slowly but surely into the fifth dimension, that people are waking to the fact that there's a lot more than just what you see. You know, a good psychic, for example, who has access to the fifth dimension can tie in and find answers to almost any problem or any situation that you like. Because,
sure.
Yeah. So, and there's only truth in the fifth dimension.
Sure.
It's my foster mother always used to tell me. She said that it's funny how criminals and crooks think that they can get away with things in the third dimension, but when God's watching, all the other spirits are watching, and you can't run away from God. In other words, there's only truth in the fifth and in higher dimensions.
Yeah, you and I are definitely on the same page as that, for sure.
I wanted to ask you a whole bunch of other questions, but before I do, I just wanted to take a quick station break. And for those who are just tuning in, this is Out of This World Radio International with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW here in 1150 AM in Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle. We're interviewing today Robert Perella, a fascinating gentleman who's had experiences with extraterrestrials and psychic phenomena on the other side. Did you have a near-death experience in Egypt in 1997, Robert?
I did. Okay. It's kind of funny, isn't it? You know, I mean, how does this guy have all this stuff happen to him? You know, I mean, some people just live, you know, the spiritual wonders.
Sure.
In 1997, there were 47 out of 50 of us got violently ill on a trip to Egypt, and we got violently ill in Luxor. And we got stuck in the desert for a while. And none of us could get a doctor, and everything was sort of one of those situations where it was just going from bad to worse, and then on. And sure enough, you know, I had got to the last day. Mm-hmm. I made it in what's called the King's Chamber, which is incredible. You know, the passageway up there narrows as you get, you know, halfway up and everything. And it was a remarkable experience. I didn't want to say that I went all the way to Egypt, and I felt, you know, 100 yards short of actually going into the King's Chamber itself. We were in a hotel that was across the street from the King's Chamber. And that night, a doctor finally arrived, and he said, "You're very, very ill. I want you to check into a hospital in Giza, and you should not get on the airplane and all that." And I was just like, "You've got to be kidding. Everybody's leaving tomorrow, and I've had enough of Egypt. You know, if I have to check myself into a hospital in New York, I will. But I'm getting out of here tomorrow." And anyway, that night, after he gave me an injection, I passed out. And the next thing I knew, I sort of squirted out of my body. And I suddenly was in the universe and had this sort of 360, you know, degree view of everything all at the same time. And I thought, you know, I'm in the universe. I thought, what is this? What's happening here? I thought, I don't feel any pain. I don't feel any temperature. I don't really feel any emotion. And then suddenly it occurred to me that I thought, I must have died.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
And then I thought, well, it's not so bad. It just takes a little getting used to, I guess. I thought, I was very surprised by my death. I thought, well, I'll be. I guess I didn't make it.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, how could this be, you know? And I just thought it really didn't feel overly pleasant, but it didn't feel unpleasant. I remember just being completely confounded that I was staring at the universe in this way, and I was like a little particle point trying to find an anchor for himself.
Oh, my goodness.
And it was at that time that suddenly there was a tremendous bright light, and as this shimmering bright light began to grow more and more, eventually it started to dissipate. And as it dissipated, I looked down, and I saw water, and I saw a pair of feet in water. And I looked, and the water was there, and it was shimmering because the sunlight had been reflecting off the water. And I looked down, and I saw a pair of feet, and I thought, what is that? It's a pair of feet in the water. Hmm. And then all of a sudden, I looked up my legs, and I looked up, and I realized, hey, wait a minute, this is me.
Oh, wow.
I'm me.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, what the heck has happened? I'm in this, you know, I have form again, and it's a normal day. The sun is shining, the sky is blue.
Wow.
There's no universe. Mm-hmm. I'm me.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, what is going on here?
Mm-hmm.
I go, oh my God, this must be what death is. I thought,
oh wow.
You know, well, okay, mm-hmm. I guess this is the next fate or something.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, there was a man standing there up on kind of a sand dune, and he called out my name, and I looked over
mm-hmm.
and saw that he wasn't really using any words coming out of his mouth. I kept hearing my name, and I turned around, and he was saying hello to me, and I noticed this man standing there, but how does he talk to me without his lips moving? What is this?
Oh, wow.
And everything. And at that point, he said, I want you to come with me. And I started to follow him because I didn't know where else to go.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when something very unusual happened that I've heard other people have had something similar happen to him. Suddenly, he held out his arms to both sides, and suddenly these two, like, tablets appeared on his arms. They were like tablets. They literally, I mean, it was like a stone tablet. You know, you might imagine Moses and his stone tablets, right? It was, they were kind of like that.
Sure.
And they were this, looked like Hebrew letters or something on it. And all of a sudden, the Hebrew letters came forward a little bit. They turned to a very bright light, like a fire.
Wow.
And when they did, it spoke to me.
Wow.
And all of a sudden, it was like I looked and I understood so much more than I had ever even imagined. And there was something that was very important when this happened. There's some mechanism in our spirit that when we go to the other side and our works are sort of looked at and evaluated, that I learned something very, very, very critical, and there was a tremendous relief at first. The first thing I felt when I understood what it was I was looking at, which I could hardly explain, was that I could live with myself. I really was not a bad person. I wasn't an overly wise person. I wasn't an avatar. I was just sort of a, I don't know, what you would call a mid-pack runner or something. You know, I was in the middle somewhere. The most important thing was that I could live with myself and that I didn't see anything in the letters and the fire that spoke to me that said that there was something really, really bad here to be looked at, like, you know, I had not murdered anybody or taken things really big that didn't belong to me or anything. And that was a relief, but it did say to me, you know, what it was at the top of my list that I needed to work on and where I was at. And I understood myself in a way in kind of a download or some kind of a review that we're unconscious to while we're in our form here. And then I learned on the other side that, the short in the story, you know, that there were lots of other souls that had run out of time. And then eventually, long story short, I resigned myself that I had died, and I thought, well, okay, I'd accepted my death. And I was over there for what might be the equivalent of maybe 3 Earth days here. And then I was, without warning, he had told me there were people waving goodbye, like waving at me. I thought, what is that? You know, people waving at me as if they were saying goodbye to me or something. And I didn't interpret that way. They're waving at me. And there were these little, like, boxes that had, like, faces and arms on them. They were, like, creatures of some kind that were waving and almost laughing. Mm-hmm. And he said, listen, I want you to remember one thing. Mm-hmm. Every word you utter to another human being has more power than you know. And all of a sudden with that, I blacked out, and it felt like I was rushing backwards through what felt like warm pudding, the only way I can describe it, like it was a murk. It was dark. I couldn't see anything, and it was like rushing through warm mud.
Wow.
And then suddenly I was slammed into my body, startled at the change in location, took a deep breath, opened my eyes to realize mm-hmm. I'm in the hotel room mm-hmm. across the street from the pyramid, mm-hmm. hearing my roommate snoring next to me. Oh. I was completely oblivious as to what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just sobbed and sobbed and sobbed like a little baby in the fetal position. And I was so grateful that my life had been given back to me,
wow.
that somehow, whatever this was, I was sent back and I was being given another opportunity to continue in this life. And to describe that, you'd need a volume of shows to try to research what that feeling felt like, Ted, because there's nothing like your life being given back to you and saying, you know, we're going to give you some more time. You know, if you haven't worked things out with the souls here, folks, that you need to work things out with, if you haven't worked things out with your parents, your family, friends, your children, work on it. Because if your life, if you run out of time, your time is up. But my time was given back to me, and I was very fortunate. And from there, I devoted myself to the virtues, you know, to tolerance, compassion, selflessness, unconditional love, forgiveness. You know, don't take people's inventory all day. Don't think ill of everyone all day long. You know? And I started to work on this personal growth side of buffing and polishing each day to become a more refined, more gentle human being. And I hope that's working and taking effect.
Absolutely. That's what distinguishes. I have to tell you, Robert, you've just explained. There's a difference in your voice than other people I've talked to, my other guests. And it's not the difference in the voice is that you've learned these wonderful, beautiful lessons of being grateful for your life, of compassion, of love. And I can tell you're on a spiritual quest, and it comes right through on when you speak. And when we first spoke on the phone here about a month ago or two, I could feel that, but I didn't know why, but it was different than other people when I've talked to, and I can feel that in your voice, the compassion, the gratefulness, especially for life that you've been given a second chance. I was almost killed in a car accident in 1978 when I was hit head-on by a drunk driver at about 110 miles an hour. I was going,
wow.
Yeah, I was going 50, and he was going 60 or more, and I was driving one of these little Volkswagen Beetles, a 1972 Super Beetle, and those things don't have anything in front except a gas tank. So when you're hit head-on like that, my head hit the steering wheel. It split my jaw in half. I woke up 6 days later, and they wired me back together as best as they can. Fortunately, the only thing I've got today is tinnitus in both ears as a result of that. But I'm very grateful for life, and I have been ever since that time. And I know life is a gift, something not to be taken for granted. But I can feel that in your voice coming across the airwaves, and I want to just thank you so much for sharing that, Robert. That's really, really nice.
That's nice to know. We're here to help each other.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
We're on Earth to help each other.
Mm-hmm. Make this planet a better place. For those who are just tuning in, by the way, this is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, a suburb of Seattle in the United States. And we're interviewing Robert Perella, wonderful, interesting gentleman, about his experiences, life experiences. Robert, I have to ask you this question, a very important one. Our guides, you wrote before that our guides want us to practice something very important while we're here on Earth. And what is that? If you could share that with our listeners.
Yeah, that's where we're going back to the virtues again.
Okay.
You know, there's a set of prerequisites for the soul that kind of further the spirit and your spirit faster than anything else, and that is the daily practice of practicing those moments of mm-hmm. Random acts of kindness, mm-hmm. selflessness, service,
sure.
Commitment to yourself to recover. Recovering from your various addictions. Mm-hmm. We all have addictions. to recover from those that have hurt us, to wake up and realize that we are, you know, divine, inspirational, mighty and powerful spiritual beings that are here to make vast and sweeping changes, and to not denigrate oneself, but to realize you really are, you are here by divine appointment. You are here by a divine calling, and that your capability is remarkable. To remember that, you know, we all become lost in the material plane. We all become lost in sort of moments of disappointment in the family and the socio, especially the socio conditioning here. There's a lot of conditioning on Earth that, you know, people are constantly telling you you're this or you're that, and and you may be those things, you may not be some of those things, but nonetheless, there's that that conditioning that's here, and but that you have the chance of a lifetime here, this lifetime, the one and only important lifetime, the one you're living right now, and to embrace it every day, and maybe even write something down on your refrigerator, you know, and it's great to post that each day and says, you know, are you practicing, you know, forgiveness today? Don't forget. Don't take everyone's inventory all day long. Don't forget unconditional love, selflessness, random act of kindness, service. Remember your guides are around you. Have a little faith. Remember it's a long race. That's why they call it the human race. And, you know, you can post all these fun things and on your refrigerator and just remind daily reminders each day, because we forget. We go back to sleep knowing that's another one. We go back to sleep. You're going to go back to sleep and forget a lot of what's being said in this show. I will too. It's always, you have to reawaken yourself up of, gosh, what now? What is it again? I need to focus on that tolerance and forgiveness and everything, because I can get the most out of this. You actually pad your life review. You can actually pad the deal, as they say, you know, sort of program. What would you like to see if you passed away, say, 10 years from now? What is it you'd like to see? Well, I'd love to see a lovely life review and a charming guy. You know, you can write your own autobiography, you know, while you're here. And you can program what you want to see, you know. Oh. I'd love to see a great ending of the movie, my movie.
Well, I have to tell you that one of the many lessons I learned from my beloved dear foster mother was that thoughts are things in the fifth dimension. And what you said earlier, you've said so many profound things, Robert, and you said earlier that every utterance that you say has more power than you think. And so that you have to be, you have to try to keep your thoughts in line in a good positive way. And one of the things you just said now that I thought was very beautiful and profound was that you are here by divine appointment. In other words, we're all here for a reason, and we're all here to make this, I believe, this planet a better place. And all of us individually have a chance to do, have a lifetime to do good on this planet with unconditional love and service to others. And as long as we can fulfill that, that's the my criteria anyway for a good life.
Good words to live by.
Thank you.
You know, there's a fun thing to do, and that is just combine your spiritual studies and you're interested in the phenomena, interest in the esoteric and all the people that listen to this kind of show with that sort of daily personal growth regimen. I'm very personal growth oriented, you know. I've had great coaches throughout my life. I mean, besides everybody that I've spoken to who is some kind of coach to me, there have been slightly better coaches. I think that, like, Tony Robbins was very, very instrumental in the way I look at things. Other coaches, you know, like Deepak Chopra, Greg Braden, so many others that are really great coaches. They really have great little anecdotes for living, and to surround yourself. I think Tony Robbins said it best when he said, "Who you hang out with is who you become." You know, surround yourself with really good, positive people, because they're going to have a tremendous influence on who you are, what you are, and everything. And you know, don't give in to the ones that want to take advantage of you. You know, hang with some people that, that have had that sort of practice the timeless wisdom. You know, and you'll get better results. And we all hang out with bad people that we regret. And discernment is certainly, you know, a trick there to say, you know, is this person the you know, have my best interest at hand. And, you know, it is tricky, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's not that easy.
It is tricky. But, you know, all of us have, I believe, firmly in the other side, in that I think all of us have at least one or more angels around us who are there to help us. And all you have to do, if you want to contact your guides on the other side, is to sit quietly and meditate and send them like a mental message, a mental question. And they usually answer immediately or through mid-thought, because they already know what you're going to say.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in the fifth and higher dimensions, the only thing there is love. And that's one of the beautiful messages of Dr. Masaru Emoto, the world's most famous water scientist, who passed away recently in Tokyo. The conference I'm having next month, the Galactic Wisdom Conference, is dedicated to him because he has such a profound message for the planet. I wanted to carry on with that with our conference next month. But
yeah, I think the conference is critical,
mm-hmm.
and I think people should definitely come out for that with the guests that you have, Tricia McCannon, the other guests that you have.
Oh yeah, thanks.
You know, what a chance to see some great things.
Oh, yeah, and people will be able to get free readings, free workshops. You'll meet some of the most interesting and famous people in the world as far as psychic readers and UFO contactees. And we're keeping the cost as low as possible for people. If you like more information, just go to our website at www.galacticwisdomconference.com or email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. Robert, we've got about... 8-9 minutes left, and I wanted to ask you a whole bunch of more questions in the time. You've written what's ahead for our planet, do you think? You've written before that we're being birthed into a new expression. What is that? What do you mean by that?
Well, as near as I can see, mm-hmm. we are those that are really looking for that spiritual enlightenment and the awareness and want to fulfill their missions and their purpose here might be moved even faster and faster in the next 2 to 3 years in a way they've not really thought possible.
Mm-hmm.
Notice your dreams becoming more deeper. Notice that they're becoming more lucid. Mm-hmm. Notice that there'll be people that will appear to you that you haven't seen for ages. You may not have even seen them in the material world while you've lived here in this body with this your particular name at this point that you have, your birth name.
Mm-hmm.
Others won't have a clue. They will deny anything is happening. And so there's going to be kind of a separation and a division. The Bible makes reference to this. I'm a tremendously religious person. I'm a tremendously spiritual person. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's the age where there's kind of a separation and division between those that are serving creation are going to be moved forward somewhat. So you might say that you find out that... you know, you're going to find out what serves others, what takes away from others, what serves the light, what takes away from the light, what serves the creator, what takes away from the creator. That whole aspect is going to deepen. And as that deepens, some people are going to wake up feeling like they've got communication with lost loved ones that they didn't have before.
Mm-hmm.
Others will deny you and say, no. Now, there's nothing like that going on here, and it's the time when, you know, you're of awakening, so a lot of people will definitely feel it. Some others will not even know what's even happening to them, why this is happening to them. They're not even really a tremendously spiritual person. They're just a good person, kind of a normal, run-of-the-mill person. They're just a good person,
mm-hmm.
and wondering, what is this? You know, what's
mm-hmm.
happening here,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's as if they've awakening from a dream, and they're going, I keep seeing some loved ones that I haven't seen in ages, and what is going on here,
sure,
you know?
Sure,
and they'll
sure.
ask people like you and I who have been in the esoteric work a little bit and
mm-hmm.
and we'll answer those questions. But the darkness, yeah, is going to get darker too. You know, the factions of darkness are very evident here. It isn't all a great story and a good story. Unfortunately, there is a tremendous story of you know, this Middle East thing being, you know, heating up. And, you know, the darkness works on those kind of forces that feeds them old ideas, martyrdom, Martyrdom is a big one. The illusion that they are serving the Creator, so therefore they're here on a mission to kind of cleanse the earth of the, you know, people that don't serve God in the way they think that they should. So they have secular groups that are formed like ISIS and things like that. Mm-hmm. That's going to get bigger. That's just going to get bigger. And you know, there's going to be others that are going to be endowed with kind of like some real abilities here that the secular terrorist groups won't know how to or what to deal with, because, you know, movies kind of foretell a short example of that, of people, you know, having sort of larger abilities. The kids call them superpowers.
Sure.
Maybe that's one way to say it, but it's,
sure.
But actually it's just a deeper connection being moved forward to what your light, what your work is really about, what you've come here to do.
Well, I agree with Nostradamus when he wrote back in the 16th century that by the 2030s and certainly by the 2040s, and I think it's going to be even sooner than that for many of us, the humanity as a whole on this planet will be entering into a new spiritual golden age of peace and development. And we will truly see a paradise here on Earth. That's my vision for the future.
Yeah.
You know, and I really
know that.
Yeah. Good. Well, and I think that, you know, we've always had problems, but I look at us overcoming us. The Dalai Lama, I heard several months ago or last year, had said that evil as an experiment is ending on this planet.
True?
And I think he's right. And I think that, of course, we've got ISIS and we've got these problems. Humanity's always had problems, but I think in the long term, we'll overcome them, and I think that the future for humanity is very, very bright. That's why I started my radio show, and this is why I put my life into this now, to make this planet a better place to live. And I also wanted to mention to my many listeners that a week from today, we will be having a dream person on the show. His name is Michael Sheridan. He's an Irish dream psychic, and he will help interpret your dreams. But Robert, we've got a few minutes left, and I'd love to. Do you have any other parting thoughts? You're such an interesting fellow. You have so many interesting things to say.
I know that your spirit shines bright and lights the way for many.
Oh.
This is a saying that I love to use or repeat to others, that their spirit is very, very bright, and it lights the way for other people in a way that they don't really always truly grasp or even necessarily believe. What you do and what you put out does have such impact to the other people. And everyone's looking for a helping hand. Everyone's looking for that sense of connection. Mm-hmm. And for those that, you know, of us light bearers and everything that are trying to pass on those little anecdotes for living, mm-hmm. you know, don't forget to really pass those on consciously as much as possible. It's a lovely thing that we're here to do, and you know, there's not necessarily any one true way or religion. I think it's out of our scope you know, to try to come to terms with that, to say that there's just one central path. You know, there are many paths, and they are all paths to enlightenment or to a detriment, but to just be mindful of your works and remember that you're mighty and powerful spiritual beings who are capable of great things.
Oh, absolutely. And in line with Dr. Masaru Emoto's wonderful work, you know, thoughts are things. And if you think positive, if you think good thoughts, if you look on the bright side of life, it does have a positive impact and it does have a positive effect. I just wanted to tell my many listeners around the world that a week from today, we'll be interviewing Michael Sheridan, a wonderful Irish dream psychic who will help you interpret your dreams. In addition, on that show, we'll be also interviewing Helena Steiner-Horstein, a wonderful Swedish spiritualist, very well known in Europe and in Sweden for her work. During the second hour, we will have Graham Hancock on the show, one of the most famous ancient archaeologists in the world, live by telephone from London, England. We've got about 45 seconds, my friend, and I want you to have the floor for concluding remarks.
Just go visit us. Enjoy the interviews at theperellareport.com. Go ahead and visit us at robertperella.com. And certainly, Ted, mention the conference one more time. That's very important. Okay. People go there.
Okay, wonderful. It's November 21st, 22nd, and 23rd. We're not running the conference. We're only to make any money. We're doing it to raise consciousness The website is www.galacticwisdomconference.com. And please check it out. If you have any questions, please give me a call or send me an email at outofthisworld1150.com. And I hope you all have a wonderful week. And Robert, thank you so much for coming on today. Really appreciate it.